Let me again welcome you, those of you that have just come in. My name is Alex Van Riesen, and I'm the lead pastor here. If you are visiting today, or if today is your first time, I just want to welcome you and say we're really glad that you're here and that you've come to be with us. As you're probably well aware, this is Memorial Day weekend, and it's a very packed weekend, actually, with a lot of memorial significance. And the biggest one, obviously, in terms of what we are aware of, Memorial Day was originally started as a day to remember those who had fallen in battle. It actually started after the Civil War, and over time became something more where we began to even honor and remember the people in the armed forces, people who had lost their lives in sort of putting themselves in harm's way. And also in general has become a time to just remember those that we've loved and lost who have died and are no longer with us. But that's not all. Today, what is happening for many is the celebration of Pentecost. And for those of you that may not be familiar, that word Pentecost, the actual meaning of the word is 50th. It's the 50 days after Passover. Passover was the celebration in the Jewish tradition of when the Jewish nation was saved from slavery by Egypt, and when God passed over them. And so 50 days after that is this thing, Pentecost. And what happened at Pentecost for the Israel nation was that is when they received the Ten Commandments, the law from Sinai. And so they celebrate that. They remember getting the law and what a good thing that was. Well, interestingly enough, that celebration of Pentecost coincides exactly with what happened in the early church when the early followers of Jesus, the 12 apostles, the disciples, gathered together. The Holy Spirit came down, kind of filled them with the Spirit, and they began to speak, and people who were visiting Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost in terms of God having given the law, given the Ten Commandments. These people were from all these different nations, and all of a sudden they started to hear in their own language about Jesus. And it totally wigged them out. And so they began to go, what's going on here? And they even asked, are these people drunk? And so Peter stood up and began to speak about Jesus' life and ministry, his death and resurrection. And thousands of people started to follow Jesus that day. What was essentially the beginning of the Christian church. The beginning that it all happened. That this day, Pentecost, is the day that sort of inaugurated, sort of kicked off this amazing event that became the Christian church. That's a lot of remembering and commemorating going on, if you think about it. I mean, you have Jewish folks that are remembering getting the law. You've got the Christians who may be remembering that, but maybe remembering Pentecost. And then you've got the Memorial Day and remembering those that we've lost. But it's not just that. It's also it's interesting that it's fallen on the last day of our series where we talk about our mission, which I feel like has been a time for us to receive something new from God. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. What strikes me about all this is that to varying degrees, we actually participate or enjoy remembering or memorializing. Some of us are very future-oriented and future-thinking. We don't, you know, it's like memorializing, it's like whatever. Others of us remember everything. And notice this, to varying degrees. And I would suggest to you that what we see in the nation of Israel, what we see even in our own Christian history, is that there is power in remembering, in memorializing certain events, because they take us back and they remind us of things God has done, has said, that he actually has followed through on, that have happened, that have blessed the people of God. So today, even as we memorialize, as we remember those that we have loved who have died, as we remember those that we may know who are in harm's way today, as we remember even what happened in the nation of Israel and delivery from slavery, as we remember Pentecost, we remember what God is doing now. And we remember this day because in days to come, we want to look back and we want to remember now and the things that he has been saying to us. I want to talk about that more this morning. But would you join me as I pray for us, as I ask God to help us to remember and to bless those of us that are remembering, and especially those that may be particularly grieving this morning, the loss of someone in their life due to battle or due to just having died, passed away. Let me pray for us. Holy Spirit, come. We come to you this morning from a variety of experiences and backgrounds. Some of us just waking up. Some of us woke up in pain, realizing the loss and remembering on this Memorial Day people who have recently died that we miss deeply. I pray, Spirit, that you would come and you would speak and minister to each one of us here, that you are intimately acquainted, that you care about each one of us and our experience of life, and that you want to be with us in that. We pray for those of us here who have loved ones who are serving in the armed forces somewhere. We ask that you would protect them, that you would bless them. We thank you for them, for their service. And we thank you and remember those who have died in battle. We remember them. And Jesus, we ask that you would help us this day to remember you and what you're doing and the ways that you're pouring yourself out now, that we could be encouraged and strengthened in the days to come. Come, Holy Spirit, we ask you to bless this time. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, it is appropriate for us as a church, VCFP, which stands for Vineyard Christian Fellowship of the Peninsula, because we couldn't think of a longer name, is a great time for us to reflect on and actually to acknowledge Pentecost and this whole issue of memorializing and celebrating what has happened. And there's three reasons that I want to share that with us this morning. First is that this story, this encounter that they have with the early followers have with the Holy Spirit is at the heart of our new mission. It's at the heart of what you see on the screen, that it was when the staff were studying this passage that we had a sense of what's happening in this moment when the Holy Spirit comes, is that there is a pattern, there is a process whereby people receive the Holy Spirit, they respond to that, and in that response, they take tremendous risks. There is some pattern of life, there is some pattern of response and obedience to Jesus that is given here. And we've been given this mission by God to pursue for the next 3 years as a church. We've talked about different parts of this mission and our hopes for what God will do over these past number of weeks. If you are a regular attender and you have missed some of these Sundays, I want to strongly encourage you to go back and go on our website and listen to the podcasts. I want to suggest to you that these are really foundational understandings of where God is taking us and what He is doing in us right now. I want to read a section of the passage that I was describing, this Pentecost moment for us, and then maybe as a way to kind of give us a lens and a step into what God has been saying to us in this mission. Awe came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. I spoke on this passage at length at the very first of our series. And so, again, you can listen to that to hear that really poured through and gone through. But I wanted to come back to that to just say that there's a picture in that, a picture of what we were struck by that we hope and believe and are walking in faith that God is going to lead us into again. Not exactly that it will look exactly like the words that we see here, but there's something happening here that God wants to do. And God is doing that for us, and we are participating and partnering with Him in that. What God showed us when we looked at this passage together is this process, this sustainable process, one might say, where people are receiving and then they are responding and taking risks out of their comfort zones, which leads them back to a place of trusting God anew and in different ways of life and ways that will challenge them. And this goes on and on and on through the process of our lives. And therefore, it is for each one of us here today No matter where we are, this is a word that God has for all of us because, as we all know and can testify, we desire to receive. We desire. We just had our recent 24-hour prayer time, and I was just thinking, one of the times that we were praying was, who just says, that's enough, I'm done, thank you, I'm full? Where does the well end? Where does the desire, and if it does feel full, if you have a moment, it's like whatever food you eat when you're hungry 20 minutes later, right? It's just you're hungry again, you're desiring more, that Jesus understands that, and that in this process of responding and receiving, and responding and risking, it leads us back to receiving from Him again. I think it's important for us to celebrate and understand that it's this story. It seems right and appropriate to honor what God is doing in Pentecost, in what He did for the early church, is that He's doing something new for this church at this time and in this place. And that we would end this series on the mission, that we would welcome this series on the mission on the day of Pentecost. Which leads to my second point. This weekend coincides with our worship and prayer night, followed by 24 hours of prayer for our mission. On Friday night, we had an evening where we worshiped and prayed, and then at 10 o'clock, we started 24 hours of prayer. As those of you here this last week, who were at last Sunday's sermon, I shared that as I was preparing the sermon, God convicted me that wherever there was a slot where there was only one person or nobody, that I was to pray. I was a little daunted by that. I wasn't sure because at the time I felt that from God, there were a lot of open slots. Clearly a number of you heard the word of the Lord and took mercy upon me because those slots filled up. Having said that, I still prayed for 8 of the 24 hours. And I've got to tell you, it was an awesome experience. Now I know right now you're thinking, you're the pastor, you have to say that. What are you going to say? Yeah, it was a drag. No. Even if it was, and I would tell you, you know that by now, it was great. It was awesome. I felt my wife will tell you this. She was actually pleasantly surprised how I was taking it, which I also found somewhat disturbing because it let me know that maybe how I'm doing the other times really isn't as good. But that's all right. We'll work that out later. Okay, so anyway, I was amazed. And what was happening in the time is I found myself so energized in praying with those of you that I got the chance to pray with. And what was interesting was where there may have been one person, by the time usually I showed up or we were there together, there was 4 or 5 of us. And it was so wonderful. And I got to tell you, the uniform response, the response at the end of every hour was the same. Someone in that group would say, that's an hour already? Every single time. I couldn't believe it. It was like, that's an hour. And it was how I felt too. And I think it was so wonderful. And I hope that if you have a chance, and as we do this again, that more and more of us can participate in this, because I think there was something deep and profound that God was doing for us. He was speaking to us, and we were taking notes on that. We had a log, and someone in each prayer time took notes of the words and the scriptures and the things we heard. And we're going to put that together, and we're going to look for more things that God is saying to us. And we hope to share that with you in the days ahead. I had a significant sense on Friday night that one of the things that God is doing, and God was doing with this weekend, is that God was creating a time, and I didn't know this when we sort of planned and had the worship night and the 24 hours of prayer, but there was an image of us as hosts and as greeters. Those who had come on Friday night to worship and those who were praying in the 24 hours of prayer were like the hosts or the greeters that you'd experience today. We were the people that were greeting and welcoming the mission on behalf of the church. We were the ones saying, please God, come in. We welcome you. We open the door and we say, come and reveal yourself to us as a church. And I think that was my experience as we prayed, that what God was doing is He was saying things, giving us dreams, pictures, planting seeds of what He wanted to do in and through us in the days and months and weeks ahead. And what's beautiful about being in that is that in that moment and in hearing that dream, when you look at it, you're part of you is like, no way, that, how could that ever happen? Because what I see with my eyes right now, that could never happen. But what we see when we see through the lens of the work of God within us is that amazing things could happen. Think about times in your own life, if you've been following Jesus for a while, where you look back, imagine 5 years ago to where you are now. And imagine, if you can, that time and go, do you imagine that you are where you are right now? No. My guess is maybe certain things that have happened that have been harder. There's probably been also some things that have been happened that have been amazing. Things that God has brought to pass, that God has caused to happen. See, this is what God is doing in us and for us as a church, as individuals. And we greeted that. And this Pentecost weekend, we welcome that on behalf of the entire church. This weekend not only recognizes or memorializes when the Spirit came down at Pentecost for the early church, but it recognizes and memorializes the gift of this mission and its reception by this community. Third and finally, this weekend marks the end of one season and the beginning of another for us as a church. I didn't actually know this until I went to the fount of all wisdom, known as the internet. And I go on Wikipedia and I put in Memorial Day, and I find out on Memorial Day that this is the end of spring, that today marks the beginning of winter. I don't know if that's the scientific summer. Okay, you people, good listening, good listening. I noticed that only a third of you, though, jumped up to say something, which is now disturbing to me because the other two thirds were not listening, but we're wondering, oh, that's good. Okay, way to let yourself off the hook there. All right, so let's try that again. We're entering in from one season, the end of spring, and into
summer.
Thank you very much. Whether it's on the calendar as technically the day when summer begins, this sort of memorializes it, doesn't it? Sort of it's these things, this barbecue that happens on Memorial Day. This thing where people either realize it's just simply a day off or one less day of work and whatever it is, but now we're moving into a new season. But just as we're moving into a new season, the early church moved into a dramatically new season on the day of Pentecost. Especially for those 12 disciples, for those early followers, they were following Jesus. Jesus was the man, right? Anywhere you went, what's Jesus doing? Jesus told them what to do, where to go, where to sit, right? When they blew it, he interjected with them. All of a sudden, Jesus dies, is resurrected, comes back to them, gives them a little pep talk and disappears. Right? You're on your own now. Not really. But it's what it feels like. The Holy Spirit comes. At that moment, these followers step up. They step up and all of a sudden they become the leaders of the church. Whoa! What an amazing transformation. What an unbelievable moment. Do you understand, like, walking around with Jesus for those 3 years, it must have been the most amazing road trip ever. Do you know, can you imagine? I mean, you're just hanging out with him and you're going from place to place. You're experiencing miracles. And all of a sudden, boom, Jesus' ticket gets punched and you're there sitting in a room scared with 11 of your buddies. And then the Holy Spirit comes. Kaboom! All this thing happens. It's crazy. It's chaotic. All of a sudden, they're like, people are wondering, and I'm just 3,000 people. Start to follow Jesus in one day. Now, I don't know. Some of you, you know, that's like, wow, that's cool. Can be a bit of a detail-oriented person. And I'm like, how did that happen? Where were the bathrooms? You know, and sort of stuff like that. And no matter what your sense on the perspective, that was an amazing day where everything changed. Well, I sense that things are about to change for us. That this is a day like Pentecost. And what is supposed to change. We have been given this mission. And while, of course, we still are walking and receiving from Jesus, and what has been beautiful is the heritage and the legacy of this church, but there's something that we celebrate and we welcome and we receive today, which is a fresh outpouring of the Spirit through this mission. That God is calling each of us, and as a church, to step up, to participate, to engage. The season for discerning a mission, a focus, a direction, at least for the next few years, is over. It's time now to focus on taking in the mission and discovering how to live it out, both for ourselves and as a community. I believe these next 3 years will both be thrilling, but also will present tremendous challenges, much like they did for the early church. I believe the big reason to reflect on and remember what God was saying to us during these past 24 hours is to encourage and inspire us to press on in the next days and weeks and months, when even responding to and fulfilling and acting on the mission seems difficult. So I believe the first part of this new season that we're entering into, is what I'm calling the mission saturation. Like a plant that sucks up water for its growth, I believe Jesus wants us to experience this mission personally and take it in for ourselves. It's not simply take it now and run with it. There's something that Jesus wants us to do. And I think that even what's been happening as I've been visiting small groups, as we've been talking about it on Sundays, as this 24-hour prayer time went, it is about us sort of saturating, marinating, taking in, deepening in the mission, owning it. Right? We know what it's like to hear something and then just immediately go, oh, I gotta go and go do it. It's another thing to actually inhabit it, to take it in, to allow it to inspire and to move us and become a part of who we are. Inside your bulletin, you'll find something called the Mission Planning Worksheet. Now, if that isn't a super creative title, I don't know what is, right? Doesn't that just grab you? That's a joke. You can laugh. It's all right. I don't take it personal. But inside that worksheet is actually a tool that we've created to help that saturation process. I've shared some of this in some of the small groups I've been in, but the reason we're giving it to you today is that over these next few months, it would be a time for you in your time with God, times of reflection and prayer, to ask and to interact with Jesus. What is he saying to you about this mission? What is he speaking to you about the issue of receiving, about responding, about risking, about what it might look like for the transforming love of Jesus to come to the Silicon Valley? We want each of us to be responding to this mission personally. I hope you use this sheet, or if you want it digitally connected to my sermon today on the web, that you'll go over it. We're asking ministry leaders, small group leaders, and staff to do this for all the groups and ministries. We want to be in this together. And I hope each of us will find ourselves hearing from God how he wants each of us to respond individually, in our contexts, in our lives. And what's important, one of the reasons that I love this mission is that it is both broad and clear. It is very clear what we're talking about, three specific things so that something will happen. The three specific things are that we would receive from God in multiple different ways, that we would respond to God in many different ways, that we would risk in ways that God is leading us into. What's cool about that is that we are all different people at different stages of life with different experiences. God may be working in some of us to initially respond more in receiving. We're realizing we haven't really been receiving from God. We've sort of been just sort of walking through the motions. We need to have more of an experience with God. For others of us, we've been receiving. We've been enjoying God, but we haven't been responding. It just sort of, we show up on Sunday and that's it. And for others of us, maybe we've been responding, but where's the area of risk? And we know, especially as I find that as we get older and as we move through even the faith journey, it seems like risk averse becomes more the norm. Whereas if you go back and you look at the life of Jesus, it is so clear that regardless of age, regardless of life experience, regardless of where people are at, they're invited to risk when they follow Jesus. That it's part of the life of faith. It's just built into the equation. We all need to take this mission in for ourselves. We need to start there. And we need to begin to respond to it as individuals and as followers of Jesus. And for those of us here this morning who do not identify as followers of Jesus, we need to begin to engage with this mission, to ask and to see it as a process of exploration, of experimentation. Jesus, I'd like to receive from you. Help me. Or what would you want me to do as someone who doesn't even follow you? What would responding look like? I suggest to you that this is for everyone who enters our door, whether you identify with Jesus as a follower of Jesus or not. In time, there will also be more clarity about the ways Jesus wants us to respond to the mission as a corporate body. It will be that combination of our response as individuals and as a body that will comprise our response as a church. We've intentionally started with a focus on our response, not giving sort of, okay, receive means X, where everyone does X. Or respond means Y, where everyone does Y. We're starting with it more open and broad than that, and looking for you to listen and engage and respond. And then as we do that together, we will put before the church and we will seek to move as a body in certain areas and ways. I love that Jesus has something for each one of us and for us as a community. Even during the hours of prayer, I was struck that the mission is for everyone in this church, adults, teenagers, and children. I was just reminded of a story in where we were praying of something that happened in my daughter's class. My daughter's 5 years old, and a couple of them gathered to pray for healing for one of the other kids in the class. I mean, those guys could pray for healing all the time because they're always like beating each other up. But, you know, it's like, I love how they were, how alive and just, can you imagine what happens? And for those of you who grew up in some kind of faith or church tradition where that never happened, that was so true of me. I ended up leaving the church at 13 because I thought, if it isn't relevant, why am I spending my time? Imagine now a church where at 6 or 7, 5, whatever, you're learning to receive from God, to respond and to risk. Imagine what that sets them up for the rest of their lives. I can't wait to see it. So let's welcome this new season to saturate and dwell upon the mission, to listen to God for what he's saying to us and begin to respond to what we hear, and let's see where God takes us from there. In moving into this season of saturation, I have a particular sense that God has a word for us as a church. And I've been praying about this. I know that many of you were here last weekend and heard Karen Isaac's testimony. For those of you that were not, I want to encourage you strongly, probably in the strongest terms I have, to go back and listen to that sermon. You can fast forward through my part if you want, but listen to Karen. Listen to Karen's testimony. I think it is a seminal moment in our church. I think it's an absolutely pivotal experience in the life of this body and its unique history. Why? Let me read to you an email I got from Karen after I wrote her to ask her what people had come up to her and said after she gave her testimony. Now, don't worry if you're one of them. There are no names in that. I'm not trying to out people. I've written to her and asked if I could share this. It's more to give a sense of what was happening as people were responding to her. A brief summary for those of you who are here today but did not hear the testimony. Karen just shared about a number of events where she just got up. She was at her house, go for a walk in her park. And while she was on a walk, she would ask God, who do you want me to pray for? And she would go up to total strangers and ask them if they wanted prayer. And then she would pray for them. Sometimes God would give her a word for them. Sometimes he wouldn't. Sometimes they would say yes. Sometimes they would say no. But what happened over the course of that process, and she saw it as her responding and taking risks in response to Jesus, was that God worked this pattern of prayer for people into her everyday life. It was part of the fabric of her life, and it became nothing sort of dramatic or amazing, but it became part of what it meant to just love and follow Jesus. That does not even do justice to her testimony. Plus, she has some incredibly funny lines. So I encourage you to listen to it. But let me read to you. She's not here today, but I wanted to read this email that I received from her. Hey, Alex, I checked with my friend yesterday, and she said her pain was down to a level 1. This was someone that she had prayed for and how she prayed. And she would always ask people, what's your level of pain? And, you know, they'd give them a number, and then she was great. She was following up with people and almost gone, and that one of the nodules in her back is gone. A lot of people thanked me for sharing after the service. They said it was very encouraging. One guy said it helped him remember what a life with God should be like. He said he used to take risks and that he'd stopped and he let his life with God become boring. And that the testimony helped him to remember and want that back. Another person's response was that things should be that simple and that we are the ones who complicate everything. Some people said they identified with the fact that they feel like they have nothing to give and they're just them. And not anyone special. This came up as in a group that I prayed with, something about them understanding that they can just be themselves and trying to overcome the fact that they think they have nothing to give. Trying to accept that we have Jesus and that's the best that we have to give. A couple of teenage girls were excited by what I shared and even prayed for me at the end as well. Like I already told you, a friend of mine and I already went ahead and prayed for someone at a store that day after she gave her testimony. And I'm in the process of scheduling with another friend from our small group to go out together and pray for people. Pretty great, huh? Pretty awesome. It seemed that God was speaking across a pretty broad range of life through Karen's testimony. And the word I felt I received from God as I read this email and prayed over the mission this weekend was the call not to settle. That there is something in our experience or in the experience of people, some number of people in this church, that we have gotten to a place where we have settled for a type of Christianity, a type of faith, a level of interaction with Jesus, where if we feel it, fine. If we don't, no problem. We've settled into a routine, and whether it's because of a routinized life, whether it's because of suffering and difficulty we've experienced, whether it's because, I don't know, just age or laziness or just sort of tired, we've stopped expecting more. I was stunned last week when someone told me, and they weren't the only person that told me this, that they actually weren't expecting to receive from God when they came to church on Sunday. Now, I get it. I know what sort is underneath that, right? Sometimes you come to church and your head's foggy. Sometimes you're tired. Sometimes it's hard and you don't connect. But to not expect that God is going to be there, to not expect that He's going to show up, to not come in with that, I think is tragic. Sad. I mourn that comment. Because I believe that Jesus wants us to have a church where we come expecting to meet Him every Sunday. And not just on Sunday. We expect to meet Him when we gather with other people in His name. We expect to meet Him when we walk into 7-Eleven to get a Slurpee. We expect that someone in there is going to be there, and we're going to, as we're choosing the Fritos, we're going to look over at them and God's going to say, I want you to pray for them. I want us to expect that we're going to experience Jesus in all the parts of our lives. And for some of us, that has gone dead or dormant or is dying, and we need to stop the bleeding now. And this mission from God is a call to arms spiritually. It's a call to arms, a call to life, a call to not let your spiritual life be robbed from you, but to take it back. To say that this kind of spiritual life is only for people like Karen. You know, she doesn't have any children. She's 30, whatever. It's like, that was nice. Oh, to be young again. Nice cliches like that. I want to suggest to you that Jesus wants us to experience Him, to be vibrant in faith, to believe that the best is yet to come until we die. Amen. That is the life we're called to. That is what we are called to believe, and we are being dared by the Holy Spirit to risk by expecting Him to show up. And I'm not suggesting that we expect necessarily that the exact same thing or what exactly we're hoping for will happen every Sunday. But we are expecting that God is active and He will work and He will be there. Perhaps we will find ourselves receiving from Him. Perhaps what we need to expect is that God will work through us to bless someone else. Whatever it is, that when we're driving in the car, when we're coming to church, it's a little bit that feeling. Like, wow, I can't wait for what God is going to do. And if we don't have that, to come to God, because He's eager and hungry for us to come and to say, Jesus, Jesus, help me. I'm not really expecting much today, but I want to have eyes and a heart that can see You, that's open to You. Help me. I really want to suggest and ask that those of you that are hearing this, that this is striking you, and as you're beginning to take these words to heart, as you're saturating and taking this in, as you're receiving and risking and responding, that you yourself would write these stories and you'd send them to me or to Liz or to the staff, because what we want to do in time, as we feel like the stories begin to come in, we want to create a blog that we can all go to and read and be encouraged about the stories of one another, the way we are receiving and responding and risking. If you have stories, as you begin to take these steps, please send us your stories. Share them with us. We want to hear them. finally, where to from here? Well, most of what I want to say is that this summer is about this time of saturation. And there are a number of things that we're doing. A number of them, all of them are in your bulletin, but let me share a couple things. You've already heard, next week is graduation Sunday and is the picnic. I have heard from people that people do not feel always connected in this community. And you know what's interesting? I hear this from every age along the spectrum. It's not like one group, it's like everyone. It's like a virus. It's like everyone feels that. And part of that is we are going to have to respond now to get to know possibly new people. Because some of us that have been in the church a long time, maybe we're not seeing some of our friends as much, or maybe some of them have left. And others of us that are new to the church, we feel like we don't know people. Well, we want to create and are creating opportunities this summer for us to come together and get to know each other a little better. One of the things we've realized about the summer is that it is an opportunity for us to do life together. We're calling our summer series every summer Life Together. And part of that's because there's a little bit more time in the schedule. I'm using that very loosely in the Silicon Valley. There's a little more leisure, like, I don't know, a millimeter, if you can, I mean, but there's ways that we can choose to be together, to get to know each other, to enjoy one another. And I want us to take advantage of that. We have a few of those besides the all-church picnic, which is clearly huge, right? I love this. Is we have a couple of dig-ins that are coming in. Now, scripture dig-ins are times some of us have communicated we want to be in the Word more. But we also want to do that and be in that with some other people. So we've created two times this summer where we're going to be studying Ecclesiastes and James. And this is in the midst of our teaching series, which is on Proverbs. We're calling it Wisdom in Relationships. So this whole summer is about us receiving from and growing in our relationships with one another. Having wisdom in those relationships. How to both receive that and how to give that. We'll be talking about that on Sunday mornings. We'll be talking about that in these scripture studies that are on a Saturday morning and a Sunday evening. And then, of course, at the end of the summer, we have our great summer gathering where we come together for the baptisms in our church. My point in sharing these is that you would take note of them now and seek to put them in your schedule as a way of growing in connection with the church, with others, and feeling a part of this community. Because as we do that, God is going to use and build upon those relationships to continue to take the mission out beyond the walls of this church. Lastly, and as the worship team comes up, I want to let you know of a way that we have thought about to try to keep the mission in front of us. Many of you have commented on the graphics of this mission statement in a very polite way. You haven't said, "Alex, those graphics are way too cool. They're much cooler than you. Who did them?" And I appreciate that because I would never come up with this. But Matt Gustafson came up with this, and we decided that in a way to keep it in front of us, and I meant is this logo. And if you kind of can put it together, obviously they're the three R's for receive, respond, and risk. And the reason that the circle is around it is that the circle is the thing that tells us that this process is cyclical. It's over and over. That we receive, we respond, we risk, and that risk leads us to a place of dependence, which leads us back to Jesus, on and on. If you like this logo, and if it would help you, and if you can imagine keeping it before you in a way that serves you, we have both stickers and fridge magnets outside. I know. Hey, if you don't like them, and you don't really want it, you don't have to take one. I like the logo. I'm having it tattooed on my arm next week. No, not really. I want to encourage you, figure out. Someone just motioned, "Have it tattooed on my head." You're a sick bunch. That's all I got to say. So, those of you who thought that need to come down for prayer after worship. But I do want to say, if whatever helps you, we're trying to think creatively. What helps keep the mission in front of us? What helps us remember, memorialize? What helps us remember the words that we're hearing now, but continue to look for and move into the future? How could we do that? And how can we help each other do that? That is what we want to do. Would you stand? Lord Jesus, I ask that you would come now, that even now these words, this mission would, through the power of your Spirit, would shake down, would settle. We would feel it move into our bones. We receive and we welcome this mission as a gift from you. Not as a harsh taskmaster, but as a gift and as a guide, as an invitation to life, as individuals and as a body, to follow you, to engage you, and to partner with you in seeing the transformation of our lives and the lives of those around us and this very community. Come, Holy Spirit. This is a big thing. And I pray, Jesus, that in 3 years we would look back on this and we would remember how it began. We would remember where we were this day. We would remember maybe even how small our dreams were because we saw the faithfulness of your hand. Come, Lord Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen.